Now, Father, we just submit, Lord God, to your purposes here this evening, God. I want to thank you, God, for knowing that you are a good God, Lord. And God, we pray this evening, God, for your presence in this place, Lord God, and Lord, for your kingdom to come here, Lord, in this place, in our lives, Lord, in this town, God, in this country, Lord, as it is in heaven. God, we pray for your will to be done in our lives, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that people will know you. They will know you. They will experience you, God. That your presence will be on our lives, Lord God. That we will know that secret place of the Most High because we know you, Lord. We know you as the shepherd. Because the shepherd speaks and the sheep hear his voice and they follow you, Lord. And God, I know you are speaking to us. You are speaking to your church, God. You're speaking to individuals, Lord. And God, I pray for those who are struggling to hear your voice, that you open the ears, Lord. That you show the way, Lord God. Because your ways is higher than our ways, Lord God. It's much better than our ways, Lord God. And God, we struggle so much with the eye in ourselves, Lord God. But tonight, we just surrender our eye to Jesus. And we ask you, God, to reign in our lives, Lord God. To reign in our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray, God, that people will experience you tonight. That they will hear the voice of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, in their hearts, Lord. God, it's all about you, Lord. All the glory and honor is yours, Lord God. We surrender to your purposes, Lord. We just want to declare that we love you, God. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say, you reign. You are our Redeemer. You are everything to us, God. And we praise your name, God. We exalt you. We want to thank you for the cross, Lord. I want to thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you for family, Lord. I want to thank you for my own family. I want to thank you for the family that's sitting here with us, Lord. I want to thank you for the family that you've placed in this church, Lord. I want to thank you for the bigger show for family, Lord. God, it's such an honor to be part of this vision, this dream that you've given us, Lord. And we just surrender, Lord God, to you and your goodness, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. If you're not seated, you are welcome to sit. En Johan, dis lekker met jy hierdie eerste keer. Jy het goed gedoen. Yeah, I thought you wanted to say something else. So thank you very much, guys. Does everyone have some cool air on them? I hope so. God. This morning was incredible. If you guys didn't hier het, jy het baie uitgemis, Leandri, jy sal dit nou baie geniet het, jylle actresses is allemaal die selle, Nicole Nordman from Seven Land Nadia, she came to share a word with us, and I was just crying from the beginning. Kurt, I don't know if you, it was you as well, you were outside, but in worship, and then when she was speaking, it was just God's presence was so powerfully here, and her story is so prophetic for what our church has been going through. So it was really for me a huge encouragement. I'm feeling, I said to them later on, there was four prophet ladies that God came to bring to our church, and it was Tani Amanda, and Tani Anita, and then Tani Mercy, and now I mean, God. So, my message is about Joseph's life. And I call it, you know better than I. And you'll see at the end why I called it that. But in the Bible, there are many pictures of a Jesus, of a Redeemer coming to be raised up, so that the people of God can be saved. And Joseph is one of those stories. And just looking at his life, I'm confronted with God's purposes in our lives. What God allow people to go through for His purposes. And it's so much bigger than what we can imagine. But when we are going through those circumstances, we're like, why God? Why me? What have I done against you? And you want to rebuke the devil. But it's actually God that is allowing us to go through things because He wants to do this amazing thing in our lives. And Joseph's name means that may Yahweh add, or it means to increase. And Joseph, you read about him in the Bible, in Genesis, and he comes from a dysfunctional family, if I can put it in today's terms. He was the 11th brother of 12. He had one sister. He had three stepmothers. His own mother died when he was very young. His brothers hated him. So he was always very defensive. He was always being taken out. He was always being bullied by his brothers because the father loved this boy more than the others. And maybe, and you know, I realized that we cannot choose our family, but God has called us to be an influence in our family's lives. And maybe there are people that we don't like, and it might be an in-law. It might be your own dad or your mom or your brother, but God has called us to be an influence in our family's life. We can't choose our family, but I believe we can have an influence in the family that we are called for. And just listening to, I'm just going to say Nadia, but Nadia's life, and I just realized God is really speaking to us about family today. And God, and when Kurt started preaching, the first sermon was really amazing about family, about building, and we really, and then Heinrich confirmed it, we believe God is saying to us that He wants to build family, that family is important to God, that we are members of our own families, that our family is important to God, but that also we are family, and God wants to bring us together as family, that we can come to that place that God has called us for. Sometimes we don't understand why our parents did things to us. And we struggle. Why? Why? Dad, why did my dad leave me? Or why did they want to abort me? Why did they four times try to have me aborted when I was a child? Why did these things happen? And looking at Joseph's life, if you understand what the parents and the grandparents went through, we can understand that we are the product of circumstances. That we are the product of people struggling and through life, and we get born into the struggle. And now they make choices, not because they didn't like us, but just because they didn't know better. Because they come from a place where they also have been brought up in brokenness. Now, Joseph's dad, his name was Jacob. He had a twin brother, Esau, and they just... Jacob and his mom deceived their dad that he can have the inheritance. His brother hated him. He wanted to kill him, and he had to flee the country and go and live with his mother's brother, with Laban. When he came there, he fell in love with his cousin. Now, this was in a time before it was not allowed to, so you could still date your cousin, your first cousin. Today, in the Strand, you can date your cousin too. That's different. But you can date your cousin. So he fell in love with his cousin. She was beautiful. And a father said to him, look, your family, let's determine the rules or circumstances, or let's set a contract how you are going to work for me. So he said to his father or his uncle, I love your daughter. I will work for you for 7 years, then I want to get married to her. And it says that those 7 years went by very quickly because he loved this girl. That night, he got married to her. She was veiled. The next morning, he realized that he got married to the other sister, the one that he didn't like, Leah. And he was very disappointed. He went to his dad and he said, or his father-in-law, why did you deceive me? Now, he got deceived the same way he deceived his own brother, his grandfather, Abram, deceived the kings where he lived by saying to people, this is my sister, not my wife. They almost got taken out. So there's a lot of deceiving going on in this family. So Laban said to him, work for me for another 7 years, then you can marry the other sister. So he did that. He got married to both sisters. Now, Leah, and this is how life works, she's getting the babies. Rachel, she doesn't get any babies. So the first baby she gets, Reuben, and she says, maybe now God will love me. Oh, no, maybe now my husband will love me. And nothing changes. His heart is still for that, for Rachel, the one that he loved from the beginning. Then another son is born and said, maybe now he would love me, but still doesn't love him. The third time with Levi born, doesn't love him. The fourth time, it's Judah. And she says, now I will praise God. And the result of her praising God is Jesus came out of that lineage of Judah was, the line, the king of Judah. All of that came from that boy's life. But then Rachel says, but you know, take my slave and have children with her, like the father did. I can't have children. I'm 90 years old. Here's my slave, Hagar. Have a child with her. And Ishmael is born from that. Now, Rachel does the same. And they have two children. And then Leah says, but no, you take my slave. Poor Isaac. Can you imagine how that must feel for that poor guy? Hey, Juan, if your wife, your two wives must do that to you. So now he's got, that slave also got two wives. And then Leah's got another two children. And she gets a daughter. And only then Joseph gets born. Now, Joseph is the boy of the age, of his old age, so he loves this boy. And he gives him everything, and he doesn't want to give any of the other children what he's giving to them. They must work on the farm, but this boy must stay with him, because this is the boy of his mother. His second brother gets born, Benjamin, and the mother dies giving birth. So now, this boy, he doesn't have a mom anymore. His dad is old and his brothers hate him. But God is giving him these dreams. He gets his dreams. God's prophetically showing to him what he's going to become one day. And it goes to your head. And we all probably go through that. You go through tough times. God releases a dream or a vision, or God releases a calling upon your life. And it goes to your head. And he tells everyone else about it, and the brothers hate him for it. And they hate him even more because of the schooling that is on his life. And the Bible says here in Genesis 37, if you can just, as I tell the story, Carol, just put the scriptures up there. But it says that they even hated him more because of these dreams that he had. And then one day, the father says to Joseph, go to your brothers, and I think it's go and give them something. He walks to the brothers, they see him from far off, and they say, here comes Joseph, let's kill him. And we'll see what happens to his dreams now. And you know, for me, what I'm seeing out of this is, sometimes God gives us these dreams, but there will be the people closest to you that want to kill the dreams in us. That want to kill that dream that God has given to you, that you know, but the people who are closest to you actually come to want to kill that dream that God has given in your life. So they see him, he comes, and they grab him, and he's like, hey guys, what's happening? Next moment, they beat him up, they rip his nice clothes off, and they throw him in the pit. They want to kill him. Now the one brother thinks, okay, maybe the older brother says, I'll come back and I'll rescue him. And then Judah, the one with the calling that Jesus will come from, he says, let's sell him into slavery. They sell him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites is the slave son of their grandfather Abram. Now they sell him to the Ishmaelites. And they take him to Egypt. And they go and sell him to a guy called Potiphar. And Potiphar is a very rich, famous guy. He works for the king, for the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is like the president of the United States of America. He's got the CIA to his disposal. He can organize black ops if he wants to. The FBI reports to him. He's got all this cabinet. He's got the biggest army. He's got tanks. He's got everything that he has to his school. They've got the biggest economy. Now, Potiphar works for this guy. Now, Joseph is sold to this man. And it says that the Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man. And he was in the house, this is in Genesis 39, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master, and the master saw that the Lord was with him
and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended to him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of everything that he had. So he became successful. God's hand was upon him. And because God's hand was upon him, he put him in charge of everything that Potiphar had. But remember, he's a slave. He's a slave. He's in slavery. But God's hand is upon his life. And you know, for me, we many times want the great life. And we want the great car and the great this. And we get upset because everyone else is having this. But why do I have to struggle so much? And in my circumstances, I want to be exalted and I want to have these things, and I'm not content with the season that God has brought me into. And we complain about our seasons, but here is a boy, he just surrendered to God's purposes. And even being a slave, God could raise him up as a slave to become so successful that Potiphar gave charge to him of everything that he had. Now he's serving another man's vision. You know, and this is so important in this life, that we must understand when we have dreams, we will still, before God can release us in where we need to go, that we can serve someone else's vision, that we can serve someone else's household, that we can be raised up so that God can release us in the place that he has called us. So now Joseph is working in Potiphar's house, and things are really going well with him. And Genesis 39 verse 5 and 6 says, "And from that time that Potiphar made him overseer, made Joseph overseer of the house, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake." God blessed his house for Joseph's sake. And you might work, or you might be in a house. And I believe if we walk according to God's purposes, God's blessing will come upon that house or that company or that city or maybe the street where we live for our sake. Because the blessing of the Lord is upon our life. The favor of God is upon our life. God's hand is upon us or not. So here, God is blessing this Egyptian. But remember, Joseph is still a slave. He's not getting shares in this. He's not getting a 13th or a 14th bonus. He's not even getting a salary. He's working as a slave. And slaves, if they don't work hard enough, they get a whipping. They don't get money. That's why you are sold into slavery. So Potiphar leaves everything that he has in Joseph's charge. He releases him to that place where he says, "All that I have is in your charge. I give you, you can look at everything." Now, the last sentence is just important for me and Brad. Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. I thought, since he's a worship leader, I'll just put it in for the two of us. In good, Natalie. So, don't allow your circumstances to influence who you are. Don't allow your circumstances to influence where you are in this life. Put your trust in God. Put your hope in God, because God is a good God. We don't know why we've been sold into slavery, but God has taken us in that place so that he can do something through our lives, even though we do not understand, why me, God? Why are you doing this thing to me? But then when it really goes well, okay, maybe I just want to share that, but because it came out this morning very strongly as well. God has not given us a spirit of slavery. He's not given us a spirit of bondage to fear. Even though we are a slave, God is saying, "I've adopted you as my son, and I'm well pleased with you." With that place, we can call upon God as Abba Father. In spite of our circumstances, we can know that I am the Son of God because of what I believe, because of faith, because of what God says in his Bible. I can know I am his son. I am his daughter for what God has done. So guys, when it really goes well with you, when it really goes well, the adversary will come against you. Just in that place when you think, now I've arrived, things are going well, something is going to come to get us distracted. When you come in that place where you feel, yes, I'm sort of now the head slave, Potiphar's wife comes and she says to Joseph, lie with me, lie with me. And he refused her. He says, I cannot do this. It's your husband put me in charge of everything. How can I do this to him? He has given everything to me. This is wickedness and sin against God. But it says this, he spoke to Joseph day after day, but he would not listen. And this is what where the enemy comes, and he comes and he speaks against us every day. And he says to you, come, lie with me. Come, lie with me. Come, lie with me. Just no, no. And this is where we have to stand in faith and with God and press into God and not listen to the voice, because that voice wants to destroy us. Don't listen to the voices, but stand in faith. Listen to what God's word is saying. Proclaim the word of God over your life, even though your circumstances say, and you are a slave, you are in slavery. Know that you are not a slave. You are what God had called you. And maybe you are standing in a position of slavery. God has actually called you to a position of leading, of being the king, of walking into that place of being a king. So she comes and she speaks to him, lie with me. And he would not do that. He would not lie with her. And then one day she came to him and she grabbed him and she said, come and lie with me. Now, maybe, luckily, all of you are over 18, so you know what this lying means. It is nie om te gaan slaap nie. Dit is om ander goed te, om wakker te gaan bly. So, he runs away. She got hold of his garment, say jacket, and he runs away. And she screams. And the male servants came and she said, he tried to rape me. Have him arrested. And the husband is angry. And they put him into jail. Now this is a word for the guys. Somtijds, en lees Proverbs, gaan na 'n tannie kom, en sy gaan jou baadjie vat, dan moet jy hardloop. The Bible says, don't resist sexual immorality. It says, flee. It means run. And he did the right thing. He ran. He ran away from that. You leave that jacket there. You don't go and fetch that jacket and say, ooh, ek kan nie gaan my baadjie kry nie. If you want that jacket, if it's 1,000 rand, leave it there. It's an investment. Skoolgeld. Los hom daar. If you really want your jacket because your mother gave it to me, take someone with you. But warn that person, I walk out with you today, please. Even if I say no, you say, come with me. Promise me. And you go and fetch your jacket. But leave the jacket. Flee these things because it's a pit. It will draw you in and it will destroy the dreams that God has given you. And many men get taken out in this area. The dream that God has given them, they sell it for 30 seconds of pleasure. So don't go there. Run away from those things. So now Joseph gets put into prison. He's a slave. How bad can it get? Now he goes to prison. And he's in prison. And now God, and now it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. He's in prison. The Lord is with him. And he showed him steadfast love. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He's in prison. It's terrible in prison. Dis nie goed vir 'n man om in die tronk te wees nie. Lelike dinge kan met mans in die tronk gebeur. But God is with him. He shows him steadfast love. He gives him favor. So now his circumstances get even worse. And it's not like, why God? Why me? And this is what we all ask ourselves. Why is this happening to me? But understand that God makes all things work out for the best. Because we are called and we love him. This is why we're sitting here. God allows those circumstances and he will turn it around. I know that because God is a good God. He will take this. And sometimes the more we struggle in life, when we overcome it, the more influence we can have in the kingdom of God. And he's in jail, and there's these two men that is in jail with him. The one is a cupbearer or a taster. He's probably going to have the best work in this world. He's very much like you. He tastes wine for a living. But he didn't sell it, probably. And then there's a baker that is with him as well. They are with him in prison. And one day they both get dreams. And Joseph interprets the dreams. And he says to the baker, or first to the cupbearer or the wine taster, in 3 days you're going to be released. God is going to release you, and you're going to work for the Pharaoh again. But the baker, you're going to be killed in 3 days' time. And it happened that way. But Joseph said to the cupbearer, please remember me. When you are with Pharaoh again, tell him my circumstances. Help me so I can come out of this prison that I am. And this is what we do. We are in prison, and we look at people and say, Johan, as jy by daai ou is, wil jy nie 'n woordjie vir my doen nie? Asseblief sê net vir hom, yes, ek is 'n regtig goeie ou man. Yes, kan ek my CV vir jou gee? And we start putting my trust in the Johans or Aubrey. Yes, hy sê, Aubrey, by bed, asseblief, as jy nie vir my job gee, dan is jy meer lekker hier nie. Kan ek net by julle kom werk nie? So we look at people, and we put our hope in them. We put our trust in who this person might be and what this person might do for me. Because I can't live in the prison anymore. Dis nie meer lekker nie. I want to get out of this place. I'm not enjoying this. And how it happened, it didn't happen for him. The cupbearer forgot about him. He completely forgot about who he was. Then it says 2 years later in Genesis 40:41. After a whole two years, Pharaoh dreams that he's standing at the Nile. God intervenes. The president of the United, Barack Obama, has a dream. And he's upset. He doesn't understand. I've had this dream, and he goes and asks these musicians or the guys, the sorcerers and the wise men. He says, I have this dream. And he's upset because he had two dreams, and he can't sleep, and he speaks, and they don't know. And then the cupbearer goes, oh, I remember now. There was a guy with me in prison. Remember, his name was Joseph, and he interprets dreams. And then Pharaoh said, in Genesis 41, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. Our circumstances, when God intervenes, it quickly changes because God intervenes quickly. It just happened. And we try all these things to get out of prison, but then God comes and says, quickly, go and fetch that guy, bring him out. And I believe prophetically this is a season where God is going to quickly bring people out of their circumstances. This is what I really believe with all my heart. God is saying to me, quickly, there are people that's going to be fall pregnant. There's people going to get married. There's people who's going to get that job. There's people's life who are going to change. These people, businesses, that's going to change. These lives are going to change because God has a plan for lives. God wants influence. God wants to change lives. This is the heart of who God is. And quickly, they go and they brought him, they shaved him, and they changed his clothes. And let's say, kepi for aner. Like that. Sometimes God comes and he does a makeover. And he changes who we are. And we've maybe been known as the guy, the angry guy in the corner. And suddenly God comes and he changes. He doesn't make over. And we are a new person in Christ. And he changes us. And we actually can't understand, oh my, what is happening now? It's almost too overwhelming. And just listening to Nadia's testimony, it quickly came for her. She had a makeover, and all the things, all the lies, suddenly she's in a position where she's got influence in probably the most popular soapy in South Africa, which has got influence in those actors that all of us have grown up with. We know who they are, but they come to her and say, my life is in this place. Can you help me? At 25 years old, she's being released to speak into people's lives. Joseph was 30 years old at this time when God came and intervened very quickly into his life. Joseph, the Pharaoh, speaks to him and he says, I have a dream. No one can interpret it. And for that time, there's no one that can know what God knows. And we must surrender to what God knows in us. So say, God, what is your heart? That prophetic voice. when people release the prophetic word over you, you just know this is God speaking. But God, that is for all of us. That God wants to release that gift to all of us in our circumstances when He brings us to that place that we can speak into people's lives. And says, I hear that you hear a dream and that you can interpret it. And then Joseph said, and it's very important, he says, it is not me, it is God, and He will give you a favorable answer. It's not me, it's not me, it's God. The glory to God, it's who God is, it's Jesus. It's not me, it's not how great I am. Gornay Becker says, before people get saved, they want to be famous, rich, and beautiful. Then they get saved and they want to be famous, rich, and beautiful for Jesus. But there's a place where we must understand it's not my purposes, it's not what God wants to do in my life, but it's God, what do you want to do? Like John the Baptist, he had to lose his life. That was his calling. He had to come and say, prepare the way for Jesus. God, you become more. Let me become less. But he lost his head. A brother said to me the other day, they believe God is showing them that He's Joshua, and I'm like, Moses. And I'm like, yes, I agree with that. Great. I'm happy for you. But reality is, Moses never walked into the promised land. And that's good. If that's my calling to release Joshua, praise God for that. It's not about who I am, but it's God's purposes. God knows much better than we. He knows better than who we are. So God, Pharaoh gives him the dream. He tells him the other dream. You probably all know it from Bible school or from Sunday school. If you don't know the dream, I'll tell it to you afterwards. Then Moses says, and this is important. He says, the dreams mean the same thing. God has revealed to you what He's going to come and do in this world. And he said, but oh Pharaoh, if I were you, what I would do is, I would appoint a person that would, for 7 years, when it's going to go really well, there will be plenty, the harvest will be great. I will appoint someone to save a fifth of all the yield, of all the harvest, so that when it goes really bad, there's more than enough for everybody. And this is what I would do. And he explained to him what he would have done if he was in Pharaoh's position. And then Pharaoh said, is there, can we find a man like this, in whom the Spirit of God is? Can we find a man like this, in whom the Spirit of God is? And adding to Kurt's prayer, let us stir the gift that's laid, given to us by the laying on of hands. That Spirit is in all of us by the laying on of hands. And this is why I believe Kurt's message is so important, that we stir that gift, because the Holy Spirit is in him. He is the giver of gifts. He's the giver. He's the one that knows everything. He knows everything from now, and He knows when the end times are going to be. He knows when Jesus is going to be. The Spirit knows everything. He's called the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of power and might, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. That Spirit is in us. Let's stir that gift that has been given to us. And then he said, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. Because he could see the calling on Joseph's life. And then he says, I will appoint you as the leader of Egypt, the biggest country of the world. Then it quickly happened. Suddenly, here this slave boy who went to prison becomes the leader of the known world. There he is. He's the main guy. 7 years goes past, 2 years. It's going bad. There's not money. And Jacob sees on CNN that there's food in Cairo. And he says to his boys, there's no more food. We're running out of sheep. Won't you go and go to Egypt and buy some food? So they go down. They see their brother. And their brother recognized them. They didn't recognize him because he's sitting there in the suit and all these secret service agents are around him. They didn't know who this guy was. But he recognized them immediately. And imagine the anger that went through him. These guys sold me into slavery, my brothers, the ones that I, is my blood, they sold me into slavery. So I can imagine there must have been so much unforgiveness, so much anger in his heart, so much bitterness, so much that he had to work through because of what his brothers had done to him. And I don't want to go too much detail, but he would send them away and leave something in their bags and then go and chase after them. And there was this going backwards and forwards thing because he was after his younger brother. He wanted to see his younger brother again. And all the brothers realized they can't allow this to happen. We can't lose another brother because what we've done to our brother Joseph. And they must have gone through all this guilt and condemnation that because of what they've done, and they've seen their dad crying for the brother, and their life has been broken after what has happened to them. So they don't want to lose another brother. Eventually, Joseph makes himself known. It says he cried, and he made himself known to his brothers. Now the brothers go, "Whoa, frack, we're going to die. Because if it was me, I would have killed them, all of them, in a row, slowly. Shoot them in a foot at a time and then start over in the knee." And then, you know, this is the anger probably that goes through you. You know, like, I don't know if you can, guys can imagine that, but you get so upset with a guy and cop stomp and you work yourself through that. So I can imagine that he was going through all those emotions. But then there's a place where I believe he came to forgive his brothers and he understood the purposes of God on his life. He knew. This is what God has done. And he says to them, guys, Genesis 45, 4, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Amen. God, it is God. It's not the devil. It's God that did this so that your lives can be saved, that my life can be saved, that many other people's lives can be saved, because I surrender to the purposes of God. And then he says, and there's going to be a famine for another 5 years. There won't be a harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. Trust in God. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what is happening in your life. But know there's a God with a much bigger purpose than what we can ever imagine. The Bible says our eyes can't see, our ears can't hear, our heart can't imagine that what God has in plan for us. Many are called, but few are chosen. I believe few are chosen because we struggle with unbelief. We don't believe that God is good. We don't trust God. And just what Simon, I came to bring to us this morning, trust that God is good. That even though, and she said it, her parents wanted to have an abortion, and I think 3 or 4 times that they failed the attempt. And she realized that God saved her life before she was born. And she didn't look at it anymore like, my parents tried to abort me. They tried to kill me, but they looked at it, but God came to intervene into my life. And that is sonship. That is that place. I am a builder. I'm not a slave, but I'm a builder. I'm a son. I'm part of this household. So the sons go back to Jacob, and they say, "Jacob, Dad, Joseph is alive." And I can imagine how this man is old. I think he's 130 years old at that stage. He cries for his boy. And he realizes his boy is alive. And then they said, "But Dad, you must come to Egypt." And then God comes. And this is how faithful God is. And God comes and he says, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go to Egypt. For there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you. And I will bring you up again. And Joseph will be with you when you die." And this is the heart of God, that he will be with us, he will go with us, and he will come back with us. God will always be there for us. So I just want to share 8 lessons that I see, that I got. You can maybe have more or less, but from Joseph's life. And the first one is God wants family. That family is important to God. that God loves family. We cannot choose our family, but we can have, be an influence in the family that we have. I also believe that we are family. And maybe you can choose this family, but I believe if you walk according to the will of God, you actually can't choose your family. If you're obedient to God's call in your life, you can't choose your family, because God places us in family. Yes, we are part of a bigger church, and there's not one specific church that's the beginning and the end, but there's many families. That's all part of God's bigger family. But God wants family. We can not change our family, but we can be an influence, we can be an example, we can build family. I was this disaster son-in-law. I just brought disaster in our family. I think he was a nice owner. But last night, my mother-in-law and father-in-law came and they knocked. They just said, can we come and pray? And eventually we went to bed very late, and it was just so family. It was just so much love. And God has really turned our family around. And praise God for that. God wants family. And I just want to say to all of us, God, I love you guys, and we are family. The second thing is that we must have a dream. And it's to do with a vision as well. A vision for who we are. I believe it's important that we can serve someone else's vision as God raises up to release us to that place where we should go. I really believe this is God's heart. But be passionate about things. Be passionate. And if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a vision, ask God. God, I want a dream. Give me dreams. God is faithful. He will give you the dreams. You will dream dreams. Joel says so, and Luke as well. The third thing is trust God and not your circumstances. Even if you're in the pit, if you're a slave, if you're in slavery, the Lord was with Joseph that he prospered. Being prospered doesn't always mean the car and the goof, goof, goof music. It's maybe not what God has called us for, but God is busy with the process. Trust in Him, because God is good. The fourth thing is integrity is precious. If you lose your integrity, it's very difficult for people to trust you again. And, you know, just it's like a pastor having an affair. People don't trust him after that. It takes very long to come to that place again. So try and be faithful. Try and do the right thing when no one is looking. Look, don't allow yourself to fall. When that tunny comes and she says, lie with me, run away. Flee those things. Keep in your integrity. That's very important. Fifth is be humble. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Even when you get raised up and they see you on CNN, and it's so amazing, this girl, her heart is for the kingdom of God. Here, all the people sitting around are saying, like, she's having the line. But she's God's kingdom, and she's so excited with what God and how God is using her in the kingdom. And she's so excited about the church. And she said, you know, if I wasn't planted in Shofar, Joburg, I would not have been here where I am today. If I was not planted, Vrou Fenikie, sy het langs my gesê, if I was not planted in Shofar Joburg, I would not be where I am today. There's a principle there, and I believe it's very good that we understand that. Seven is fully forgive. Always forgive. Leave the vengeance to the Lord. He wars on our behalf. Don't want to do it yourself. And then give the glory to God. Surrender to God's purposes, because God knows. Don't try and hold on to and get the cup bearer or the wine taster to get your CV, because he knows people. Surrender to God. God can do that thing for you. I just want to show you, how much time do I have? Yes, I can still show you a clip just for Joseph's life.
God, why are you doing this to me? Do you hear me? Any kindness you take away. You were the one who gave me the dreams. You brought me the gift. Some gift.
My dreams are lies.
What have I done to deserve this?
I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why, for you know better than I. If this has been a test, I cannot see the reason, but maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. I try to do what's best, and faith has made it easy to see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you, for you know.
Brad, maybe you guys can, do you have another song that we can do? But I just, I know many of us here are, have been in the desert, and just listening to the prophetic word that Simon Nay came to bring to us this morning, because this picture of the desert that God had gave her with a block of ice and this donkey that's trying to lick the ice, but its tongue gets stuck to the ice, and the landscape where everyone else had flowers, she had like a cactus or something. And then, but in the on the far end, she saw that there's a storm coming, and this ice block was given to us by God in intercession one morning, where Eugene had this word of ice, and ice is controlled, and we are like that ice. We don't want to allow God to melt our hearts, that the water can flow to bring life, and that life in us is, will become waters of living water that will bring water to others. And what she said this morning is that
you know, that lady at the well that I've been preaching about, and I think we must actually preach more about her, but she tried to find meaning in life in men. And then she would get married to one and then divorce, and married and divorced, married and divorced, and then, but every time she realized that was empty. But then she came and she met Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the one that brings water, and the water that you drink from me, you will never be thirsty again. And I believe there's a place that God wants to mark our hearts, that the living water can come and flow through us. And this is a place where I believe we have to respond and to say, I don't care anymore what people might think or say about me. My circumstances is, I'm a slave. Maybe some of us are a slave in prison. And you don't know why you're there, but you are in prison. And maybe there was this thing that happened in your life and you ran away, but still you ended up in prison and it wasn't your fault. And there's bitterness in your heart or unforgiveness in your heart. And I really believe God wants to come and cleanse our hearts. So I just felt God was saying to me that if there are people with family problems, unforgiveness, if there's, and you feel stirred and you want to respond and bring that before God, that you come to us forward, that we can pray with you. If you are going through tremendous difficult circumstances and it's impossible for you to not focus on who God is and the fact that God is good, because everyone else has a great life, but why am I going through these tough things? I don't understand why everyone else can be promoted, or why they can get married, or they can have children, but we are struggling, and you want to surrender that to God. Or if there's unforgiveness and you are not able to forgive, we want to please pray with you. If there's anyone who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we really want to pray for you. We want to just help you to meet him, because as someone I just said this morning, when you meet Jesus, your life changes. Jesus changed lives. He changes lives. And he on the cross endured all these things that we can have life and have life abundantly. That when we surrender to him, and sometimes we feel it's never going to happen, but over time, God does a work, and he prepares, and he builds character, and he comes, and there's a time when he quickly wants to release the work that he's created in us to bring glory to his kingdom. Now, I wanted to share with you a prophecy that's been given, and I read a book, Denise Woods, The Whirlwind, Reaping the Whirlwind, Oos van die Warrelwind. And in this book, there was these Nigerian men that came in 1994 to South Africa. They had dreams. God gave them dreams about South Africa. They knew nothing about South Africa. They came with assignments to pray. God showed them pictures of the union buildings of Sun City, Ecuador. What is Sun City? Guess what, if we laugh. Of many places in South Africa. They, on their own cost, they had one name of a pastor that lived in Sandton. They came here. At the airport, they got stuck. Customs wouldn't allow them in, even though Nigeria and South Africa had the new South Africa, new government, and Nigeria had very good relationship. But this pastor was waiting outside the airport for 5 hours, and he was sitting there. And as the people came through, he said to them, "Have you seen these Nigerian guys inside? Are they maybe inside?" They said, "Yes, customs are holding them." So he tried from his side to come to let them know that we are called. They are with me. So after 5 hours, they heard him quickly. They said, "Okay, you can go through." And these men came. They had an option of two taxi drivers. So they took the friendly one who was not that clever. So it's good to be friendly, smart, even if you're not clever, like me. And
they would pray and they would say to God, one man would speak to the taxi driver, but only he was allowed to speak. They would not speak to anyone else, and they would go to all these places and go and pray and break stuff, etc. Now, 94 was when elections came to be, and then this Denise Woods was an intercessor. She spoke with them. They trained them. There was one man that Tia knows, and many amazing things had happened. But the one prophecy that they gave, and said, Africa is a gun. It's a like a revolver, and the handle is that the West Coast, and Nigeria is the trigger, and the barrel is Southern Africa. But the point is South Africa, and they are called to pull the trigger so that the bullet can come and bring revival into the world. And then last year, God stirred Nigerians again, and Danny Mercy and those pastors came here. They had dreams, and they said they must go to Umdani, but Jaco Kritzinger's pa is, who lives next to Pastor Fred, said, you must go to Donnie's neighbor. He's got a mission that must be completed. So he went to Donnie, and Donnie said, okay, you know, he knows Fred, and Fred was that day walking in the field, and he said, God, we need prayer enforcements. We need prayer enforcements. Lord, help us. And then when he came back, they stood with Donnie, and Donnie is a goeie Afrikaanse oom, and hierdie groot Nigeriese man wat langs hom staan, and this, they started speaking, and this man asked Pastor Fred, why are you in Stellenbosch? He said, we have a mission that we have not completed. And he said, stop. And then he shared with him everything that God had showed them, and on their own expense, they came from Nigeria to come and minister here. They're coming again this year. I believe this prophecy is so true. But the thing about prophecy, it releases God's will, God's purposes. But there's a place that we can act on what God wants to do. We can act and say, God, I want to be in your will, Lord. I want to be that bullet, God. Yes, the trigger, God is the bullet is coming. But are we going to be part of that bullet going out? Or are we going to resist this thing? And resisting is surrendering. Say, okay, I'm the bullet. It's not, okay, the bullet doesn't decide when I'm going to be shot. It's, you go because there's some action that happens behind you. And I believe this is for South Africans. There's a calling on our lives to stand and to be counted out there. To surrender to the purposes of God and say, Lord, let my life be counted. Let me be a Joseph in a foreign country, God. Let me be that one that's been raised up. I've been a slave, I've been in prison, but I'm ready, God. If you want to use me, I'm ready to be used. And, you know, speaking to Kurt, you must actually hear his testimony. He's so much like a Joseph. His whole life, he's been amongst people who've never seen him as part of him. But his own family always also rejected who he was. So he's always been that lonely guy out there. But I believe because of that, there's anointing on his life. And God has called him and he's released him. And God's going to do many great things in his life because of his circumstances. Because God allowed his circumstances. That was tough. You can ask it. He's not born that pretty. He was beaten up that to become that good looking. Sorry, Kurt, I'm embarrassing you, but there's a place that we go through tough times, and it feels like everyone is against you. Everyone has rejected me. No one loves me. I don't even have friends. But that is the place that we can be because God wants to release us into what he has called us, what he has destined for us. But it's a place of surrender. God, I surrender to your purposes. I just want to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that God, we are family. That we are the children of God, Lord. God, I thank you for every person who is sitting here. I thank you for every member of our church, Lord God. I thank you for Shofar as a movement, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you for every Christian church in this town, in the city, Lord God, in South Africa, Lord God. And God, I pray that you will stir us, Lord. That you stir us. Lord, I pray that you wake us up, God. Lord, that we will not live this life being stubborn and rebellious, Lord. But we will surrender to your purposes. That your will can be done in our lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Can we just do one song as we just stand up? And if you are going through family trouble, you have difficult circumstances or this unforgiveness, or you just want to respond to the message that the Holy Spirit is stirring in you, and you just want to respond, you want prayer, I want to invite you to come forward that we can pray with you, that we can just allow God to do the work that he has started in us.